encouraging prayer. God offers an open invitation for his people to talk with him at any time about anything. On Encouraging Prayer, Dr. James Banks, author of the best-selling Prayers for Prodigals and many other books on prayer, provides weekly biblical insight to help you learn to love to pray. And now, here's James. So today, on the first Encouraging Prayer of the year, we're going to talk about the one thing. And James, would you like to explain to our listeners what the one thing is?
Absolutely. So remember the incident where Martha is working in the kitchen and she's upset with Mary because she isn't. So she complains to Jesus.
Oh, I know. Well, maybe better than I'd like to admit.
Don't we all? Yeah. I mean, Martha is so busy and she's doing good things for Jesus, you know, but there's something that matters more. So here it is in Luke 10:42. Jesus says to her, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.
So the one thing is being with Jesus, sitting at his feet.
That's right. And another way to describe what Mary is doing is worship. She's placing herself before Jesus. She's humbling herself before him. She's just, you know, again, simply loving being in his presence.
Yeah, this really is a great topic for the beginning of the year. We need to do this.
Exactly. And the beautiful thing about worship is that we can do it anywhere. This isn't simply about going to a worship service, although according to God's word, that needs to be the start of our worship every week. But this is about going to God in our hearts wherever we may be. I mean, think about Hebrews 11:21. It mentions how Jacob, toward the end of his life, worshiped as he leaned on his staff, you know? So it's an in-the-moment kind of thing. And that's the kind of in-the-moment love to God that is so vital to our relationship with him.
You think about the Revelation and all the worship that's going on there.
Right, or think of Romans 12 that tells us to surrender our bodies to God as an act of worship. So this is all-encompassing. And as we stand at the beginning of the year, it's good to take inventory and ask ourselves, how much is worship a part of my heart and life every day?
Yeah, because that's what God really wants of us. Jesus said that the Father is seeking people who will worship him in spirit and truth.
That's a great point, you know, because it shows us God's heart. He really wants us to do this. You know, he's, again, seeking those who will worship him. And it's not because he has some great need of us to worship him, not at all. He's entirely sufficient. But if we do worship him, we'll find that he gives so much more in return than we could ever give to him, because he's like that. He's that good.
So, James, what's a good starting point for this, for someone who wants to worship him more like this?
Well, it has to do with the heart most of all, you know. So if he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, that's the first part. This isn't just about what we do, you know. It's not this thing we do. It's about who we are. So worshiping him in spirit and in truth means that we're real with him. It means that our hearts and minds are nourished by the truth of his word. So if you want to look at how to worship him in truth, then, you know, you want to worship him first in your heart, and then you go to him, and his word shows us how to go there in truth.
So you've written a lot about this with your books on praying, the prayers of the Bible, but if you could point us to one place to start, where would that be?
Well, I'd look at David. I think the reason David was called a man after God's heart was that more than anything else, he was a man of worship. So if you want to see what that looks like, first go to the Psalms. You know, you'll see David's resolve there, like the times he says, I will praise the Lord. You know, I will worship him. But you see him also being still before the Lord there, resting in him. Think about the 23rd Psalm. The Psalms also talk about praising God with instruments and singing to him, and also humbling ourselves before him, confessing our sins to him. So it's a broad slice of life. It's all in there.
No, like Prego spaghetti sauce. It really is. So James, when you think of this kind of personal worship, what does it look like for you?
Well, again, it's broad. I mean, it includes all of the things we've talked about, but What I'm really drawn to is the tender kind of worship that you see in people like John, who leaned on Jesus at the Last Supper. I'm a tactile person. I express myself through touch frequently. So I like to imagine leaning on Jesus, and I don't think he minds that at all. And I think of what Scripture says about clinging to him. And if we're going to have childlike faith, that means we live dependently on him in the moment, no matter what our age is.
Yeah, that's helpful. And if you add to that the things Scripture tells us about giving thanks and praying continually, you know, it all kinds of comes together.
Right. And here's another idea, especially for those who love to sing. And by the way, that doesn't matter. I mean, if you can't carry a tune, you may still love to sing. But live like a musical, you know. Just burst out in song. Make something up if you like, but let your heart respond to him in love like that.
Yeah, there's a verse in Ephesians about that, making music in your heart to the Lord.
That's right. And I had a mother who did this all the time. She was kind of like a product of the age of musicals, you know, and I'd be talking with her, and all of a sudden she'd get this light in her eyes and start to sing a hymn. And of course, as a kid, sometimes I'd cringe, you know, but now I find myself doing the very same thing.
Yay, Mom. I mean, you never know which lessons will stick.
Amen. And, oh, I need this one too, you know, because if our lives aren't filled with worship, they turn inward. We turn inward on ourselves. And the ironic thing is, that's no way to be happy. But if our hearts and minds are filled with him, praising him, loving him, then our treasure really is in heaven, and nothing can touch that.
Wow, that really is the surest and best way to have a happy new year, James. So let me close our time together with a prayer that we all should do this. Lord, we thank you for this encouragement to do what our hearts really were meant to do. And I pray that you would guide us in some of the things that James taught today on how to truly worship you, put the weight and the value there that you are in our lives, that we can enjoy, you know, what we truly were meant to do, and that we would have a year in 2020 of seeing 2020, seeing you in a way that we never had before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You can hear more from Pastor James by visiting his website, jamesbanks.org, or by visiting Peace Church in Durham, North Carolina. May God bless you and encourage you as you pray.